When the media is so biased, it is difficult for voters to get accurate information about any conservative candidate or issue from the mainstream news. So writes Bishop E.W. Jackson, and he is now starting something called the Stand for Truth Project. Hello, I'm Jerry Newcomb. Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. And right now our guest is Bishop E.W. Jackson. Bishop, great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Well, Jerry, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Okay, so tell us about the Stand for Truth Project.
Well, look, Jerry, our country is in a crisis right now. And look, that crisis flows from a number of different sources. But I really believe that one of the root causes is that the American people are being inundated with misinformation, which is an attempt to indoctrinate them rather than inform them on the issues. And as a result, I think you have incessant division, reports about people and things that bear very little resemblance to accuracy, emphases that tend to skew what is important and lead us away from issues we ought to be focused on. For example, mainstream media is not reporting on the economy. They're not reporting on the tremendous benefits that the American people are experiencing as a result of some of the economic policies of this administration. Instead, they're focused on Russian collusion, and which there's no legal thing such as collusion, but you know, this fantasy that they've made up because essentially they have an agenda, which is to overthrow an appropriately, duly, legally elected president of the United States. I mean, so we're in a crisis, and what we're doing is saying to Americans, we've got to push back because the press is really supposed to represent the people, and they're not representing us. They're representing a far-left agenda, and they've got to hear from the people that we simply are no longer going to accept it, that we are going to push back, and they're going to feel some pressure from us.
Well, you know, it's interesting you mention the media and, for example, the economy. As I understand, you know, you're an African-American, and my understanding is that the blacks under this economy of Donald Trump are doing better than has ever been recorded in the United States of America. As long as they've been keeping records, they're doing really, really well. And so also are Hispanics, as well as, you know, the rest of us.
Women, yep, absolutely.
But you'd never know.
All the victim groups, yeah, all the so-called victim groups that the left has defined are all doing exceedingly well. But that's not being reported.
Yeah. All right, so what's your proposal to fight back, to push back?
Well, there are a number of things that we're doing. And by the way, Jerry, and I take no offense at this, but I have been on a campaign, and I'm intensifying that campaign to end the hyphenated American. I prefer the term American of African descent or American who happens to be black, because I think that the press, this is another thing that the press has done. I think they have so divided us by race. They have so balkanized us. And the racial climate in the country, instead of having gotten better, now that we're 150 years from slavery and 70 years from Jim Crow, it's gotten worse.
Yeah.
And so I am pushing this vision of one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all,
yeah,
as opposed to these hyphenated, balkanized Americans. And here again, that's another instance of with the press, how the press is really kind of manipulating the situation for its own ends. Here's what we're doing. We're proposing, A, to push back. We're doing research. We're gathering facts. We're working with people at the Media Research Center that's run by Brett Bozell.
Yes.
To understand how, not only on the national level, but how on the local level do you push back against the biased media. We are going to seek meetings with these editors and these journalists who are misinforming people, either in misreporting the facts or in choosing in a biased way what not to report on versus what to report on. So we don't report on the economy, but anytime there's any accusation against this administration, that becomes the headline story, no matter how little fact or substance there is to the accusation. So that's the second thing we're doing. And then thirdly, look, we're talking to the grassroots about it's time to show up at these places and protest and say, look, if you're going to do this to us, if you're going to hurt our country and hurt the American people by using your constitutionally defined role to misinform people as opposed to simply trying to find and report the facts and give both sides of a story, then you're going to hear from us. And your advertisers are going to hear from us. So we're going to put up some billboards that help inform people that they're not getting accurate information. So we got a number of steps that we're taking. That's a few.
That's excellent. Well, you know, it's funny. I was thinking in my mind that in some ways, some of the most credible people around are those who are in the mainstream media, even in outlets like CNN. I'm thinking of Jake Tapper right now, who don't always go with the flow and will push back, you know, well, wait a minute, Sheriff Scott Israels, how can you say blah, 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 blah in light of the fact that such and such? So in other words, some of those in the mainstream media who are willing to ask some of the tough questions, I think are voices of credibility, whether they're on CNN or Fox News and maybe even MSNBC, only in the sense if I can think of one guy, Hugh Hewitt. That's about it. And I think he's on Saturday morning, and that's about it. MSNBC is like the worst. Every time I've turned them on at the gym, that's usually where I see this stuff, I just can't believe how biased they are.
Well, let's face it. This division is really, in my view, coming down to, and that's why we call this the Stand for Truth Project, those who love the truth. Because, you know, And I say this with all sincerity, I'm not interested in the mainstream media being an advocate for my point of view. I don't think that's their job.
Right.
But I'm not interested in them being an advocate for a point of view against mine either. I think what they ought to do is fairly report the news and say, you know, here are the facts. Here is what maybe some representatives of the left say. Here's what some representatives of the right say. Here are the facts, and you can decide which way you think they cut. As opposed to what we've got now, which is they won't even acknowledge the fact, Jerry, that they're leftists, that they're far out liberals who have a liberal agenda that they believe is right. You know, I say that one of the funniest things that ever happens is for a bunch of liberals to get together and talk and believe that they've covered all sides of the issue.
Yeah.
And that's what they do.
Yeah.
So you're right. I mean, MSNBC is really the worst. And look, I've run for office. I've experienced this personally, how they go after the conservative and give the liberal Democrat a free pass for the most part. Because when I ran for lieutenant governor, for example, I was investigated as if I were running for president or as if I were being nominated for the Supreme Court, perhaps you might say. And I'm thinking, what is going on? Well, I figured out what was really going on. They didn't want the conservative to win, and they were going to search until they found something, anything, that they could use to try to convince people that they shouldn't vote for me. And they put out some things that were scurrilous and that were absolute lies. And it did actually hurt me because I talked to people who would have voted for me or were inclined to vote for me and said, but is this thing we heard true? And I say, no, it's not true. Mm. Oh, because, man, that was devastating. But that's what they do. And we've got to put a stop to it. And only the people can do it.
Okay, so one of the main things is you would want to let people know about the advertisers of some of the most nefarious programs or most biased programs. That's one part of your strategy, so people can, you know, put their money where their mouth is as far as their values, as far as shopping.
Absolutely, because look, I don't care what the editorial policy is of a newspaper. As long as they are open to having different points of view at least being expressed, if they're liberal editorially, that's fine with me. What I do care, though, is that they use the hard news to advance an opinion. And this is what's happening. And so what we want to do is say to advertisers, look, you're advertising with this newspaper, you're advertising with this television station, you're advertising with this magazine, but they're using your dollars to advance a point of view. And some of your customers may not share that point of view, and they think you're supporting it. So you're going to lose business if they don't straighten their act out and start actually objectively reporting the news as best they can. So, and part of this, Jerry, is an acknowledgement. I mean, I would feel better, for example, if a liberal reporter said, look, I do lean left, but I go out of my way to make sure that that does not get into my reporting. And if people think it does, please hold me accountable because I want to be fair to all sides. But they won't do that. They act like they're completely objective, and then they are just as biased as any situation you've ever want to find yourself in.
You know, if we were doing this interview about 2 years ago, I would think, you know, Bishop, the good news is we've got the internet and there's all kinds of different news feeds that are independent of the mainstream media and the leftist bias that we find in the mainstream media. Only the problem now is that that leftist bias has found its way in terms of the social media outlets. And so, therefore, you know, people are being shadow banned, you know, in some of those different outlets as well.
Look, I've experienced it. I had a video that went viral within about 4 or 5 days. It had gotten up to about 125,000, 130,000.
Wow.
Suddenly, on one particular day, it absolutely stopped. I mean, just as if somebody put a period on it. And no one else wanted to see it. Well, I knew that that wasn't the case. Ugh. I knew that Facebook had put a stop to that video, and it just absolutely put the kibosh on it. And there was no reason for them to do so other than they didn't like the opinion that I was expressing. So,
wow.
Look, you're absolutely right. But that's why, here again, we the people have got to push back. I'm not interested in having the government try to regulate, because here you get right back into the same situation. If you've got a liberal government, I mean, you're right back where you started, but the people need to be heard from.
All right, so now how exactly are you working with Media Research Center? I know them in the sense I've done interviews with Brent Bozell, with Dan Gaynor, and others through the years. They're great people.
Yes, they are. Well, they understand how the media works, and what we are trying to do is not to focus so much on the national media, even though the Washington Post is national, for example, but they report locally here in Virginia. What we're trying to do is activate local grassroots people to hold their local media accountable. So what we're asking of the Media Research Center is give us some guidance. Show us how to look for the bias, how to find it, how to ferret it out, how to express it and position it so that others can understand it, people can understand it, and so we can go to a media outlet, for example, with an intelligent approach to why we are not happy, why we believe there's bias. We want to be able to lay out the case in a cogent way. So what we're doing, we've got Robert Knight working with us, who writes for the Washington Times and on the opinion page, and has also worked for Media Research Center, who is helping us and liaising with media, with MRC to try to give us some guides so we can give that to local people that they can apply it in the same way the Media Research Center applies it at the national level.
Oh, that's excellent. I know Bob Knight. He's a friend. That's great. Used to work for us, in fact. That's great. Dave Bratt is running for re-election. He's the congressman that beat Eric Cantor in the primary about 4 years ago, and it surprised everybody. You use him as an example in your press release. We have about a minute left. Tell us about that.
Dave Bratt is an outstanding individual. He loves our country. He loves God. He loves people. He's fair to everybody. But the Richmond Times-Dispatch, for example, has not reporting on any good thing he does, any legislation he files, anything that benefits the people. But they're treating his opponent, his Democrat opponent, like the second coming.
Oh.
And here again, this is one of those instances in which they're simply not being fair. They ought to tell what they think Dave Bratt has done, the positive things. And sure, if they think he's done some things that are not right, or according to some people, not right, fine, put those out there. But don't treat him like the devil and treat his opponent like an angel, because his opponent has got issues too, and we don't all agree with his opponent, so put both sides out there. So we're going to be holding the Richmond Times-Dispatch accountable, not just for Dave Bratt, because we don't endorse candidates, but we do endorse principles, and we're going to hold them accountable for following the principle of ethical journalism.
All right, this is Bishop E.W. Jackson. We've been talking with standamerica.us for more information, staying true to America's national destiny. Bishop, thanks so much for joining us. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.